By almost any measure, the painter Susan Kreil is a bona fide artist. She's had solo shows at big New York galleries. She's sold hundreds of pieces over the last 40 years, and works of hers are in the collections of the Guggenheim and Metropolitan Museums. But the IRS did not see it that way, and they sued Kreil for lots of back taxes, arguing that because she's also a tenured professor of art, teaching is her actual profession, not making art, so she couldn't deduct her expenses as an artist. Last week, a federal tax court judge ruled against the IRS and very much in favor of Susan Kreil. So what might this mean for professional artists of all kinds, painters, sculptors, composers, writers, whomever, the vast majority of whom don't make a lot of money from their artwork and do have day jobs? I called up the CPA and tax expert Tony Nitti to explain this case, and he's here with me now. Tony, welcome to Studio 360.
Kurt, thank you for having me.
So why is it important for an artist to be able to identify herself occupationally as an artist to the IRS?
Well, the critical determination is, it sounds like semantics to, you know, a lot of people, but in the eyes of the IRS, there's actually two ways that can go. You could have a trader business, or you could have what the IRS coins a hobby. And that was the thrust of the case with Susan Kreil, is they argued that her activity as an artist was actually a hobby. And the distinction is critical, because if you are conducting a trader business, you can deduct the expenses against any income from that business, and even in excess of the income from that business. So just to put numbers on it, you know, if you had $10,000 of income from your art activity and $50,000 of expenses, you could generate actually a $40,000 net loss from your activity. Why is that so important? Because that loss from your art activity could be offsetting income from your second job. So it shelters that income. Conversely, if the IRS and the tax courts conclude that your art activity is a hobby, now you can only deduct your expenses from that art activity to the extent of the income that you earn. So same numbers, you earn $10,000 of income and $50,000 of expenses. Now, if it's a hobby, you can only take that $10,000 of income down to zero. So you're not able to get the tax benefit of reducing or offsetting your other income from other sources.
And the thing that this case reminds one of is that artists, professional artists who want to make money, are by and large in a gray zone that doesn't fit into this binary thing of hobby versus, oh, I'm selling widgets. So how now, given this case, do artists prove that they meet the new, more expansive definition of profit-seeking professional artists?
Well, that's a great question. And the caution I would throw out to everybody, and the reason I get nervous when people get so excited about Susan's case, is, as you alluded to in your opening, she's a very, very accomplished artist.
Right.
And the way the IRS determines if you're a trader business or a hobby is they look at 9 factors under the regulations. For each factor, they look at all of the facts. And so you have to understand that your case is only as good as your facts.
Right.
So the question becomes, what can you do as an artist to strengthen your argument? And there are a couple things. You know, the first thing, and this is going to seem like common sense, and it is, but the first factor the IRS looks at is the manner in which you conduct your activity. Do you treat it like a trader business? And my point would be, you can't win your case on this factor, but you can certainly lose it.
So keep records and try to sell your stuff and all those things.
Keep your receipts for your expenses. Track your income. Track your inventory. Get a credit card for the business. Get a business checking account. And then a lot of people don't take this extra step, but hire a bookkeeper to prepare financial statements for you. Why? Because maybe more important for the IRS than seeing that you keep books and records is, what do you do with those books and records? Because in a real trader business, if you look at your books and records and you see something's not working, too many expenses here, not enough income,
you'll do
here,
something else to respond to that
exactly
problem.
Exactly. Showing that you're using your records to modify your business is hugely important to the IRS.
One of the things that amused and amazed me is the argument, the IRS argument, that essentially if you enjoy something too much, if you derive pleasure from this artistic activity, well, then it's a hobby probably.
What really differentiates between a trader business and a hobby is, how much time do you spend on the more mundane, miserable aspects of what you do. And if all you're doing is hanging out in your studio creating art, not marketing, not networking, not efforting to sell it, it looks a lot more like a hobby than a trade or business.
Although many artists I know would argue, well, that's what artists do. We're not social networkers and sellers, but that's a problem if they want to take the IRS deductions. Now, the tax court has not yet decided whether all the deductions she took over the years are legit. And when that judgment comes, you think this may not, it may not be such a happy day for Susan Kreil.
It's not going to be. I mean, let's be honest. She was deducting what appeared to be a lot of personal expenses, utilities, meals, travel. My guess is if she hadn't taken all those extra expenses, generated such large losses every year, she may have never ended up in front of the IRS in the first place.
Tony Nitti, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Tony Nitti is a CPA and tax expert who blogs for Forbes.com. So, what do you think, artists and writers and composers and choreographers? Do you think this new tax ruling might actually save you money? If so, let us know at studio360.org. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yes, I'm the tax man. That man is rough.